Foundations Lesson Number 7, Sharing the Gospel Message, Part 3. Roman numeral number 3 on our outline gives us some of the ingredients that are necessary in sharing the gospel message. The first of these is compassion. Psalm 86, verse 15 says, "But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." God is deeply compassionate. Since we're called to become more and more like Him, knowing the heart of God helps us know what we need to be conformed to. If we have an attitude that says, "The unsaved have made their bed, now they can lie in it," we're in great need of being transformed by the Holy Spirit. The example of our Lord Jesus Christ also shows us the compassion of God. Mark 6, starting in verse 31. "Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, He said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.' So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, He had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So He began teaching them many things." I've often been challenged by this passage of Scripture. Jesus and His followers had been so busy that they were tired and they were hungry. So Jesus made plans to get away with His disciples to a remote place in order to get some much-needed rest. But when they arrived, a large crowd was already there to meet them. If I'd have been in Jesus' shoes, I probably would have been ticked off that my plans had been wrecked and that now we wouldn't be able to get the R&R we desperately needed. Jesus didn't feel that way at all. He had compassion on the people. He saw their need. He ministered to them without even a tinge of complaining or frustration. Such pure-hearted compassion is also what we're called to have. Colossians 3:12. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." This should challenge us to look past people's faults and see their need. A Christian college student noticed that every time she ran into her downstairs neighbor, she was on her way to another party, so they would just exchange quick, friendly greetings. One day, the neighbor said to her, "I like you. You're all right. Let's get together next week and smoke a joint, okay?" Now, some believers would have taken that opportunity to tell the gal that smoking marijuana is sin, but correcting someone who isn't looking for correction never builds relationships, which are extremely important in trying to lead others to Christ. I thought that the response of the Christian college student was brilliant. She said, "Thanks. I really like you too, and I'd love to spend some time with you. I can't stand pot, but I'd sure love to do something else." Let's remember, it's not our job to set the world straight. It's our job to help people find God. The people of this world tend to be on a treadmill searching for satisfaction and meaning in life. They're thirsty, but drinking from all the wrong wells. In all their striving, sometimes at the expense of others, they have yet to realize that their pursuit is endless. It's like running a marathon without a finish line. Sure, they may experience some temporary fulfillments along the way, but ultimately, the only way for their searching souls to be satisfied is for them to come into a vibrant relationship with the Lord. A factory worker who was making minimum wage said to her coworker, "If I only had $1,000, I'd be perfectly happy." Her boss, who overheard her say that, was fascinated by the thought of seeing what a perfectly happy employee would look like. So he went to her and said, "I heard what you said. Here's $1,000. As he was walking away, he heard her moan, "Why didn't I say $5,000 would make me perfectly happy?" Now if, after hearing the story of this woman, you feel on the inside like telling her, "Listen, you're being ridiculous. You said the money would make you perfectly happy. Can't you see that you were wrong?" Then you need a drastic change of attitude. Jesus was full of compassion. You and I need to have the same attitude, the same heart that he had. If you're like me, you have lots of room for improvement. By the way, if you find yourself in need of compassion, don't fret. Simply ask God to change your heart. He's faithful. He'll change you. He's in the life transformation business. Again, compassion will help us look past people's faults and see their needs. The next ingredient that's necessary in sharing the gospel message is prayer. Of course, talking to God and communing with Him is a very necessary part of our daily lives. But when it comes to lost people needing God's salvation, prayer is indispensable. Moses is a great example from Scripture of someone who cried out to God on behalf of those who were about to be destroyed. Exodus 32:9-14. "I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "O Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.' Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened." Skipping to verse 31. "So Moses went back to the Lord and said, 'Oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold. But now, please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written.'" Here we see in Moses the heart of a great intercessor. When God was about to destroy the nation Moses was leading, Moses was only concerned about the people of that nation, not at all about himself. He was even willing for God to blot his name out of the book of life. That's how deep his burden was for the people he was leading. To say that this is an example of intense dedication would be an understatement. The Apostle Paul had a similar heart. Romans 9:2-4. "I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel." Skipping to chapter 10 and verse 1. "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved." When it comes to seeing the lost brought into the kingdom of God, there's no substitute for prayer. Prayer releases the hand of God to work in the unsaved person's life. When we pray, we're not only communing with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, but we're also acknowledging that only He can save a soul, only He can bring conviction to a heart, and only He can draw an unbeliever to Himself. Charles H. Spurgeon once said, "Pray as though everything depends on God, and then work as though everything depends on you." Without the activity of the Spirit of God in a person's life, that person can't come into the kingdom of God. However, without our sharing the gospel with them, they won't have the information and demonstration they need in order to make the right decision. Both factors are necessary. In John 6:44, Jesus put it this way, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Our prayers will intensify the drawing power of the Spirit of God in the lives of the unbelievers we're sharing the gospel message with. Amen.